Patrick O'Neill has worked in U.S. intelligence agencies for almost two decades. He says the Arab Spring was a watershed moment in terms of agencies realizing the potential value of social media for figuring out what's going on in the world.
I went from briefing people to try and convince them it's not a fad to now the same people I brief run up to me and tell me how they have a Facebook page. And I don't have the heart to tell them, as my kids would tell me, that Facebook isn't that cool anymore.
O'Neill is the analytic director for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence's Open Source Center, which was just designated last week as the functional area manager for all open source intelligence in the federal government. He says he actually believes the importance of Twitter, Facebook, and other online platforms has been exaggerated in terms of the role it played in bringing people out into the streets. He says satellite TV channels were probably more important, with social media playing an enabling role. But all the talk about Twitter, etc., he says, raised the profile of social media in the intelligence community. It's now sexy, he says, and his office and others who are tasked with gathering open source intelligence, generally considered anything that hasn't been gathered by clandestine means, are building their capabilities. Combining tweets with other open source material, everything from blogs to traditional media reports to LexisNexis searches.
And what's really challenging is we're now able to take all of that diverse information in all of those diverse forms and sort of homogenize it by harmonizing the data and enabling analysts to look at it all at once, make connections, span the different kinds of media. It's a very quickly evolving area, and it's very broad.
O'Neill and other intelligence experts spoke on a panel organized by the Intelligence and National Security Alliance and GovExec. He and other panelists were quick to point out that monitoring social media to take a country's pulse and avoid surprises has its limitations. For one, depending on the country in question, its users represent just a sliver of the population, maybe 20% in some cases, even if they do tend to be the more activist segments of society. David Abrazino, a former Navy intelligence analyst who now runs the Open Source Intelligence Exchange at Fairmont State University, says technology will never replace good intelligence tradecraft.
And good analytic tradecraft is key for successfully integrating social media into mainstream analysis. In a lot of ways, it poses even more challenges. If you're dealing with a human source, there are certain asset validation practices you can engage in. You can't do that with someone who's tweeting from the other side of the country, and you don't really even know who they are. Now, one area where I think technology does really play a role is dealing with that issue of volume of information. We were working with a private sector partner not too long ago on a database project, and we tried to capture every tweet that mentioned the word Syria. And we ran the search, and after a week, we had over 400,000 tweets. Having the ability to take that group of, which is one small sliver of the entire tweet sphere, you're getting 400,000 hits, way too much information for one person to look at. How can we take that group and find the specific nuggets of actionable intelligence or valuable intelligence contained in that body? And I think that's where the technology tools come into play and are essential.
O'Neill says analytics like that on social media traffic are already being performed, and they've come in handy in a few cases.
There have been natural disasters where we've been able to direct relief efforts based on what we're seeing on social media. We can find where the pockets of people are that need help. We can geolocate where the hospitals and the facilities are, and we can kind of help direct that effort. We're able to monitor elections, discrepancies, and irregularities in voting.
The next step, O'Neill hopes, is that the intelligence community and private sector companies will develop technologies that can predict when something big is about to occur in a certain part of the world and avoid being surprised by events like the Arab Spring.
In other words, collecting all of this information and being able to discern when something today is different than it was yesterday, just by all of these indicators that we're looking at. Most of the time, we're not going to explain the why, but it'll allow us to direct subject matter experts to that area and then explain the why, see what's going on. Maybe it was just a very contentious soccer match that resulted in a lot of people carousing, or maybe there's really something going on there. So in that regard, it will be a tool for us. It already is, but we're not there yet, to monitor a much larger part of the world than we're able to, and in particular to focus resources on those sort of what we call global coverage countries that we don't devote a lot of resources to, because their direct interest to the United States is subordinate to some of the other countries. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to expand, really, you know, our reach and our ability to look at the world.
All of that, O'Neill says, applies only to intelligence analysis performed on tweets and other open source material that starts and ends overseas. He says there are strict policies in place that require his office to stop gathering intelligence if they determine it involves a U.S. person. For Abrazino, there are no domestic versus overseas limitations. He says domestic law enforcement agencies ask for his help with investigations. And when the powerful East Coast thunderstorms rolled through and left millions of people without power a few weeks ago, he got a call from the West Virginia National Guard,
asking if we could monitor social media, looking for information about people who needed assistance. We stood up a small task force, and by the end of the day, had a report of a woman whose generator was running out of gasoline, her husband was on a respirator, didn't know what she was going to do, and the guard was able to send support to this woman's house with jerry cans of gas, tanks of oxygen, and everything else to make sure that everyone was happy and healthy. It's just that last one, knowing that we probably saved somebody's life, I think made the program worthwhile if we do nothing else.
In another case, Abrazino says his center was asked to monitor the open source social media activity around a national organized crime group. A pattern of activity suggested they'd identify the organization's new leader. It turned out they were right, and it was a name that federal law enforcement authorities had never even heard before. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.